This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, it's Danny. I'm 45. I'm from Manchester. I joined the OTI community in October 21. I was sceptical at first because I'm not on any sort of social media, and I've been in a couple of other very large online sober communities before. I was amazed right from the offset at the involvement that Shaz and Ben have in the community. I thoroughly enjoy the Zoom calls. And I've met some pretty good pals along the way that I didn't realise I was in the market for. We've been out for hikes. It's just great. I've been in touch with like-minded people, and it really has been a game changer. So I'd encourage anybody to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. We can safely say now, 2 years down the line, that this is the best alcohol-free podcast in all of the actual land. We are well over 300,000 downloads since it started around a dining room table in Liverpool a couple of years ago. It grows and grows and grows. We've got every corner of the well-being world listening. You might be sober curious, you might already be sober, you might be at the beginning of your alcohol-free adventure, or you might be years into your journey. Wherever you are on that scale, you are welcome. If you are just tuning in for the very first time and thinking, who are these two people wanging on about sobriety, I'll give you a quick recap. My name is Sharon Hartley, based in the northwest of England, in a county called Lancashire, very northern, very sober, approaching 4 years alcohol-free. To cut a very, very long story short, I started drinking in my teens, loved it in my 20s, carried on through my 30s, and it got quite dull and tedious in my 40s, so I thought it was about time to make a change. So I did exactly that, approaching 4 years ago. Hands down, the best thing I have ever done in my life. Absolutely life-changing. It's a joy to be doing this. The podcast is all about the guests. Before we get onto that, I would love to introduce my very sober co-host, Ben Anderson. Ben, how are you doing?
I am uncomfortable, Sharon, to be perfectly honest. First of all, I'm 2 years alcohol-free today, which I'm delighted about. I can't believe it's been 2 years. But I'm uncomfortable because you're taking the reins today. I'm the producer of this podcast. Well, I'm supposed to be the producer of this podcast. But Shaz, what do you call a producer who doesn't produce? Redundant, that's what you call them. And that's what you've made me today, because you've taken, I don't know who the guest is today. It's a surprise. I just feel very odd. I feel very odd.
You and me both, actually. I thought this was a great idea, and it is a great idea, but like you said, you're the podcast producer. Between us, we host it. You do all the editing. You do all the important stuff. I just bang on about sobriety. And now the roles have reversed. I'm not entirely comfortable myself. So the sooner this gets back to normal, Ben, the better. But as you said there, you are today, as we are recording, 2 years alcohol-free. And for the purpose of the people that are listening that are not community members, we've got a shed load of community members watching this call. I've never seen as many people on one call. It's brilliant. And they've come.
It's fabulous to see everyone. I mean, it suddenly makes this more nerve-wracking. Bearing in mind that we go out to thousands and thousands of people around the world, you know, every week. Suddenly being able to see everyone watching is kind of weird. But great, it's good to have you here. Please laugh, even if you don't find it funny, just to make us feel better. That'd be nice.
Just be kind. Just be kind. It is absolutely brilliant to have you here. So to our community members, welcome. And as I said, if you're just finding us maybe for the first time, or indeed you are a weekly regular, welcome to Over the Influence. As I say, most weeks, this podcast is all about the guests. It's about inspirational stories. It's about sharing how people have changed their lives, sometimes unexpectedly. We just talk about all things alcohol-free. As Ben mentioned there, today, Ben, is 2 years alcohol-free. Didn't expect to be here. Not that you didn't think you could do it. It was just never on the cards. Ben was only ever going to be, you know, taking a little break from alcohol. And as I said, this podcast is all about inspirational guests and sharing fabulous stories. So, Ben, I'd really like to introduce today's guest. on.
I'd like you to. Honestly, I've been nervous about this ever since you said it. I don't like surprises. Don't. I hope it's someone I like.
It's somebody that I really like. It's somebody that I really, really like. And I know that our community members like as well. So without further ado, I would love to introduce today's podcast guest. It is the one and only Ben Anderson.
Are you serious? Honestly.
Honestly.
Right. I've literally been shitting it. I've been thinking like, but who could it be? I've been saying, Jem, Shaz's been emailing you. Are you coming on the podcast? I've been talking to my brother. Charlie, are you coming on the podcast? Shaz's been emailing. And it's me. Okay. I actually feel more uncomfortable now I know.
Well, yes, it is you. And I may be introducing somebody else to this episode very, very shortly. But Ben, the reason I wanted to do this is I don't think you realise how important your story is to share. Because as you often say to the guests that come on the pod to share their stories, you don't need a rock bottom. It doesn't have to be absolutely shite in order for you to change your relationship with alcohol. You can just go, you know what? Just going to try a break. Let's just see what happens. And you are the best person to talk about this. So this episode, yes, it is. It's featuring the one and only Ben Anderson. I'm going to ask the questions. We'll just follow the tangents, Ben. We'll just see where it goes.
Okay,
I'm going to put you right on the spot. And I want you to talk to us about what it's been like for you over the last 2 years. Because I think sometimes you sell yourself short and you've got such a good story to share because it's normal and it's relatable and there are so many blokes like you out there.
Yeah, I'd like to start by saying I really like asking other people questions. That's why I love doing this podcast, because you ask them the questions, you sit back and you listen to them, you think, what can I ask them next? There's no pressure. I'm suddenly feeling a huge amount of pressure on me, Sharon. Where do you want to start? Like, what do you want to, like, when we first met?
So let's go right back to the beginning. Okay, yeah. And I say this a lot because it genuinely didn't matter. So when myself and Freddie from New Zealand, that is on a lot of the podcast episodes, he said, I know this guy. I'd love you to meet this guy. He's a shit-hot podcast producer. He's got a background in radio. And I was like, oh, do I know him? Do I know him? Because obviously I used to work in commercial radio back in the day. So when he said the words podcast producer with a radio background, I thought, fan-flipping-tastic. Can't wait to meet you. And I can remember the first time in Freddie's kitchen and you came in with your briefcase and your headphones and all the rest of it. I thought, oh, Christ, what have we got into here? Oh, bloody
hell. A briefcase with microphones in. Not that I carry a briefcase everywhere I go, just to clarify that. And you had your posh voice on. You were like, oh, hello. Yes, my name is Sharon and I'm a BBC broadcast journalist.
I think I wore a shirt as well.
You wore a shirt and you were really nervous.
I was like, terrified.
Really, really nervous.
I was terrified.
I couldn't work out why you were so nervous, because, you know, you're a broadcast journalist. You're on air to thousands of people all the time. You've been in, you know, background in commercial radio. I was like, oh, this girl, she'll be great. And you were terrified of actually doing it. And was that because it was the process of it? Asking questions. I'm already
flipping. Hang on, don't you be turning this around on me. No.
But were you nervous because of you know, the process of recording, or were you nervous because of the subject area?
Sticking
your neck out, talking about,
Completely. And so we wanted to sing about sobriety. We wanted to talk about alcohol. We didn't really know where to start. And we thought, how better to do it than with a podcast producer? So I want to ask you, when myself and Freddie came to see you, obviously, you were still a drinker. What did you think about this whole idea about having a podcast that was dedicated to sobriety and alcohol-free life?
We're very honest, aren't we, on this podcast? I really liked you two, and I loved your enthusiasm for the subject. I loved your passion for it. I didn't think it would get listened to very widely. And the reason I say that is because I looked around my own life and everyone drank. I didn't know anybody. I mean, my dad doesn't drink much and he's never drunk much. I think I've seen my dad drunk once and that was by accident. He doesn't like the feeling of being drunk and he never really drank at home. But everywhere else I looked, there were drinkers. And yeah, you know, some drank more than others, but it just wasn't a thing that had ever really registered, especially coming from the radio industry.
Yeah.
Like, it was, and I know we say this, and every guest we've had on say, oh, my industry is so bad for it. And you go, actually, you spend enough time listening to this podcast and you go, well, every industry is therefore bad for booze. But radio really was. And it was kind of the culture of it was that, especially when I was a manager, you know, you were kind of expected to take the team out to socialise, and you expected. And I got this big job when I was 27, and I was the youngest managing editor for Capital FM in the country, darling.
Oh, excuse me.
But I felt this pressure as well. I was in a new city. That, long story short, I just didn't think that people didn't drink. And you know what, Shaz? I'm embarrassed to say this now, really, with all the kind of the learning that we've done over the last couple of years and all the different stories that we've heard. But I thought that alcoholics gave up alcohol. Yeah. And that was, you know, someone gave up alcohol because they had to. And, you know, being really, really honest, you know, when I came to meet you, I did think, you know, is Sharon an alcoholic? And what, yeah. I don't think I'd ever met an alcoholic before, or at least not knowingly met someone who would say that they're an alcoholic. And very quickly, I realised that actually you'd got to a point where you were a daily drinker and that you had a habit with alcohol that you wanted to break, but you didn't classify yourself as an alcoholic or an ex-alcoholic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And almost straight away, I was kind of then intrigued by the area, you know, not really knowing what to expect. You know, you turn up and there's this posh woman in a shirt who wants to record a podcast. And but, you know, almost straight away, I wanted to find out more. And I don't know if that was because I knew that my drinking had crept up and that the way that I viewed alcohol had changed. You know, in my, we've said this loads, but in my 20s, I drank because it was fun and it was sociable. In my 30s, back end of my 20s into my 30s, it became a stress reliever. You know, this has happened, therefore I'm going to the pub. And yeah, I think that played into it as well. I thought, I mean, I'm not a religious man, but I do have a kind of, I do believe in the power of the universe. And yeah. I do think that fate is a thing. And I don't really know why, because I'm quite matter of fact and it sounds a bit woo-woo, but I thought, there's a reason that this has come into my life. And I've also got to say that long before I really thought that I needed to change, you know, rethink my drinking, Jem, my fiance, spotted it earlier than I did. And I think that she wanted me to meet Freddie, because that's how obviously we met through Freddie.
Yeah.
And I think she wanted me because she knew Freddie because they had the same personal trainer, and she knew this nuts guy who runs ultramarathons and does all this crazy stuff who gave up alcohol. And I think she wanted me to meet Freddie. So actually, we wouldn't be here now without Jem going, you need to have a chat to this guy. And she kind of disguised it as, talk to him about business. You know, this is a business thing. But actually, I think that, you know, very early doors, Jem went, she could see that things weren't going well with my drinking. And in a very, because she does this with everything, but in a very kind of gentle, very thoughtful way, thought actually Ben might benefit from chatting to Freddie and therefore Shaz about why they've given up booze.
Well, hold that thought, Ben, because I think this is the perfect moment within the podcast to speak to Gemma.
Are you joking? You know what? I've been saying to Gem all day, are you going to be on? Are you on the podcast tonight? She's like, no, I'm not.
Listen, I can only apologise now.
Jem, are engaged to be married. We've got a baby on the way, and you've lied to me. You've lied to my face, and I believed you. You told me that you were going to see Annie, and you are not seeing. Where are you? You're in our bloody spare room, Jem. You're in our bedroom.
I'm not. No, I'm in our bedroom.
Hi, Jem.
I've been sneaking around the house, shushing the dog, lying to Ben. He's never going to trust me again.
But it's all my fault. It's all my fault. All I want to do is apologise. But Gemma, I'm so chuffed that you've done this. Thank you so much. While you're in the waiting room there, Gemma, Ben was just saying, we were talking about when myself and Ben first met, and we sort of muted this idea with Freddie as well. And Ben was just talking about you, and he said, well, actually, it was sort of Gemma that guided me towards this guy called Freddie, sort of disguising it as maybe it's a bit of a business chat, but actually you might have identified that Ben may have needed to just possibly look at his relationship with alcohol, and he put that down to you.
Well, I mean, that's lovely, and yes, that was very much the intention by introducing him to Freddie. But I think, you know, I met Freddie through somebody else, so I don't actually know Freddie very well, but I'd met him a couple of times, and it was kind of that thing of, well, you know, he's successful at what he does. He seems to be kind of smashing life and very happy, but doing it without drinking. And I thought it would be a useful person, let's say, maybe, for them to meet.
Well, it
Jem's worked. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi. She doesn't like Star Wars, so I won't get this reference, but she kind of like, she plants seeds. She looks at things and looks at the situation as a whole and goes, you know what, if I just do that and that and that, then this might be the result. And you don't even know it's happening. You don't know that you're being Jedi mind tricked by Jem, but it happens all the time.
I think that's just women, Jem, Ben. I think that's special to me.
She's just a woman, Ben. It's what we do. I mean, we've got together and you didn't know anything about this, which is just marvellous. Gemma, as well, I wanted to ask you, something that really sticks in my mind is, I don't know how far Ben was on. It might have been his 1 year alcohol-free. It might have been sooner. It might have been 6 months. You'll both have to remind me. And Ben quite often refers to a note that you'd left him, and it was just saying how proud you were and how chuffed you were. Do you remember doing that? And why did you do it?
It was a letter, and it was for his year anniversary. And I think he'd mentioned, I don't know whether it was a guest that you'd had on or somebody in the community, but he'd mentioned that somebody else had received a letter similar on their first kind of sober anniversary. And I just thought it was a really lovely thing to... Ben's quite sentimental, so he keeps everything
I'm
like
not.
That.
That's what we're about.
We're going to ruin him here,
this
aren't
is
I?
Great. Well,
yeah.
And I thought, well, firstly, I kind of try and make the effort to say to him all the time, like, I think you're doing really well. This is great on a regular basis, just in life. But I think it's nice to kind of mark those milestones, isn't it? Firstly, with something, and it's, you can say stuff all the time, but it's nice to read something sometimes, isn't it? And also, I thought it would be nice to look back on as well, you know, when he's further down the journey, however, you know, wherever that is, to look back on that letter of, this is, you know, this is how far you've come and this is what's changed and everything in the last year. And now it's 2 years.
Yeah.
He only got a card this year.
Not quite as much. You've got a lot baby and all that, wedding to plan. And just one last thing, Gemma, because we're not going to keep you on the call because I don't want to torture Ben too much. And I really, really appreciate you coming in. You've talked there about how far Ben's come and the changes over, you know, the last year and then the second year, just through removing booze.
Yes.
What have you seen?
I think, like, I was obviously, like, in love with Ben. We were together way before he decided to do that. So I could see all these lovely qualities in him, and I already thought he was the best person in the world. But I think for me, it's been almost like there was this amazing, wonderful person in there, but there was kind of something in the way sometimes, you know, something stopping that person kind of shining through. And for me, from, you know, from my point of view, I've just seen that kind of lifted. Like, there's so many examples. Like, we've just had our engagement party and loads of other people were really drunk, and Ben was helping his mum clear the kitchen up when they'd put so much effort into organizing it with us. And it's things like that. Like, he's been up in the morning helping with family things and things that are important, where I know that two years ago he would have been hungover, in bed, not participating. And we even said the morning of our engagement party, we'd gone out for dinner for his birthday the night before. And I'm not drinking because I'm pregnant. He obviously doesn't drink. So we just had a nice dinner and went home. And the next morning we were up. It was probably about 9:30 and we took the dog for a walk. The sun was out. We went for this lovely walk. And I said to him, if you'd have been drinking, I was like, you'd still be in bed. You'd have woken up fuming because you were hungover on the day of our engagement party, pretending you weren't fuming. And then by 1:00, you'd have been back drinking again. Because that's just, it was a day party. That's what people do, isn't it? And I just think he's so much more present. And that's something I wrote in his card today, is that he's kind of, one of the things is he's chosen to kind of show up and be present, you know, for our family and his family. He's just... I just see a huge difference, and he's much more chilled. He calls himself, I don't know if he's called himself this on the podcast.
No, no,
well, the problem is, though, the problem is he can edit all this out, can't he?
Yeah, I'm in charge.
I won't even be on this episode when it goes out. I'll be gone.
Tell me more, Gem.
He is joking a bit, but it is true. Like, he calls himself Zen Ben.
Oh, we've heard that. Yeah, we've heard that.
Oh, okay.
So much more patience. Oh, there's other things he calls himself that I couldn't possibly repeat on a podcast.
Big Ben baby. Yeah, that one. Big Ben.
He's dying inside.
I'm joking. I've never said that ever to clarify.
But yeah, I think it's made, and I'm sure that, you know, people, anyone listening can resonate with this. It's made a huge difference to our relationship. And I think patience and being present and kind of showing up for things. I don't mean physically, but I mean kind of like emotionally, actually being there and being part of it. It's hugely different, and it's lovely. It's really nice.
Gemma, that's just, it's wonderful to hear. It's brilliant. So I'm going to say to Ben, how does listening to all that make you feel?
Emotional. I mean, you know, Gem is, she
cry, she's cry.
Cry now. She's already told me, by the way, that if I don't cry on the wedding day, then she's immediately getting it annulled. By the way, if I don't cry when she walks down the aisle, there's an annulment coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, Gem is, like she said it, you know, she's really supportive, and she's really good at kind of telling me, you know, I'm really proud of you for this. And, you know, I don't think I was always that way with you, babe. Like, I think, you know, I took everyone really, Shaz, we talked about this before, that you can become quite selfish when you're drinking, and you don't have to be at any level. I don't know, it's a difficult one, because
you don't realize you're being selfish and self-centered, and you don't realize until you remove the alcohol and you look back and you go, God, I really was a bit of an arse at times.
Yeah, but not in a kind of any,
he was,
yeah. Not in any kind of major ways either, but just a kind of, like, you know, like, there were definitely times when I should have stayed at home. I'd take myself off to the pub. You know, that's just a little example. But I think, Gem, I've said this loads of times on the podcast before, and I suppose it's a bit too late to ask if it's all right now, but I always say that I don't think that we'd be here if I'd not given up drinking, because I don't think that you would have put up with me for much longer, especially after the pandemic and lockdowns, when it did ramp up. And, you know, the fact that, I don't know, would we be getting married? Would we have a baby on the way? Or would you have gone, you're a pain in the ass, bugger off? You know, I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, luckily,
but you
I never
don't
have
need
to.
Find to out. In many ways, you don't need to, because the fact is, you're here now, 2 years alcohol-free, you're both getting married next year. Mega excited about that, whether I'm invited or not. Really, really excited about that.
You are.
Slip that in there. And you've got a baby on the way, and you're having a baby boy, and it's the best. And, you know, it can be too easy to say, can't it, right, this X wouldn't have happened, that wouldn't have happened if I was still drinking. You know, you don't know. But it's no coincidence that a shit ton of good stuff starts to happen in your life once you remove booze. In all aspects of life. It doesn't have to be the big things, does it, Ben? It can be the smaller things, but it's not coincidental.
I like to think that we'd still be here. I don't know if that's true, but it definitely wouldn't be like this.
Yeah.
It's just calm and stable and lovely most of the time. Until Ben says silly things like, God, we haven't had an argument for ages.
Oh, yeah.
Next day, huge row.
That's bad now.
It's probably one brewing straight after this pod. I've not set you both up.
But no, Gem, well, you know, before you go, thank you for supporting me. And it's, I feel very lucky to have you in my corner with everything, but especially with this. So thank you.
I fully am in your corner, babe.
And Gem, from me, thank you so much for agreeing to come on. I didn't know if I was doing the right thing or the wrong thing, but Ben's a bit rubbish about... He's great at singing about sobriety, not so brilliant about singing about his own. And because, you know, I wanted to do that, I wanted to make that happen. And if I've got it massively wrong, I apologise. But you know what? I'm really glad you came on.
Oh, no, it's lovely. He'll love it. And it's been really nice to come on and be a small part of it and, you know, celebrate 2 years. It's amazing. And just as a last thought, I was saying to somebody in work today who doesn't know Ben, and I said, oh, you know, it's his 2 year anniversary today. And he was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I love stuff like that. And I was like, if you could imagine one person in your life who you'd go, oh God, he could never stop drinking. That was Ben.
There you go. Say no more, which is brilliant. Gemma, it's been a pleasure and congratulations on the baby. Can I just tell you both something now? My mum is a huge fan of Over the Influence. She's a huge fan of Ben. She's currently knitting as we speak.
Ah, I love that.
That's so cute.
Big up yourself, Celia.
Thank you.
Thank you, Celia.
Thank you.
Gemma, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And hello to everyone watching as well. Nice to kind of meet you.
Oh, they've said some really, nice really lovely things. Gemma, thank you very much. That to me was absolutely brilliant. It was just fantastic. Just hearing from Jem the impact that your choices has had on your relationship and your family and everything brilliant that's about to happen. It's absolutely fan-flipping-tastic. Let's rewind, okay, to when the seed was planted, myself and Freddie talking about sobriety, and you thought, just right, okay, go on then, I'll try it. I'll try it for 30 days. At what point did you go, actually, I'm liking this. Things are changing.
You know what? It was actually before I started on the. I think I said 3 months initially.
You're right. I think you did. Sorry. Yeah, it wasn't 30 days, was it? It was 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, three
and I think
months.
That was because of a conversation with Jem. And I just thought, you know what? If I'm going to do this, then I should give it a proper good. And I felt like 3 months was a good chunk of time. But it was the pandemic. It was ramping up drinking. Because, you know, if you listen back, it's your favourite ever episode, Chaz, the moderation episode.
Oh, it's a beaut of an episode.
A moderation plan. And basically, long story short, it was 2020 and I come from, my background is in radio and I love a catchy name. So I thought, let's do 20 in 2020. That means I can choose 20 days where I can have a drink out of the whole calendar year. And you know what? In my head, that actually would have worked. I'm still convinced that would have worked.
Absolute
and I would have
toss.
Stuck to 20 days had it not been for the pandemic hitting. Because then it just went out the window, you know, yeah. Suddenly, you know, and it was because I think all of us were in these WhatsApp groups when the pandemic first hit. You know, you look at it and you go, well, hang on a sec, that's my auntie's putting in the family group that she's cracking the wine open at 11 a.m. Yeah. And everyone's going, yeah, go for it. You know, and I fell into that a bit more and I just thought, well, you know, how often does a pandemic happen? This is exceptional circumstances, so I'm not going to do 20 in 2020 anymore. And then actually, it wasn't like I was drinking a horrendous amount. I wasn't pissed every day, but just little things like it was getting earlier. You know, yeah. You kind of go, oh, well, now, I think everyone kind of, if you drank through the pandemic, I think that these are things that everyone can relate to.
Well, it seemed to go one of two ways, didn't it? People were either like, hang on a minute, I'm not doing this. This isn't going to end well. And people stopped, or people went the other way because they could, because you weren't going to work. You weren't on the school run. Everybody was at home. And like you said there was that little bit of novelty, because do you remember in the really early months of the pandemic, the weather was beautiful.
The weather was amazing.
And people were going,
you know what?
Let's get on it.
It was also, you know, I always say about, you know, drinking in my 20s, I am like a stuck record, I've said it this episode, drinking in my 20s because it was fun, into my 30s because I was stressed more and used it to relieve stress. When the pandemic hit, yeah, it did feel like a novelty, but we were all terrified.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of look back on it now and you can kind of start to make a bit more sense of it with hindsight, but it was scary. Never, ever had we been told to stay at home. And to not go outside and not to socialise and not mix with people. And it was also, you know, I was scared for us. I was scared for parents, grandparents in particular. And also worried about them because, you know, Nan, for example, she's worked out WhatsApp now, but it took her a while. Do you know what I mean? She's at home on her own, not allowed to leave, trying to work out how a bloody mobile phone works, struggling with that. There was the kind of whole family and personal side of it. But I'd started a business not long before the pandemic hit. I'd taken a risk. I'd been made redundant. And instead of getting another job, I used my redundancy money to start a business. Suddenly, less than 12 months later, a pandemic hits. And all of these things, yes, the weather was nice. And it did feel a bit of a novelty. But actually, for me internally, it was dreadful. It was just worry. I was just worried about everything. And therefore, I gave myself the excuse to drink. I think doing that, and obviously we kept producing episodes through this, you know, we very quickly went remotely, and I was seeing you guys every week, and I felt dreadful, you know, listening to you guys talking about alcohol-free life, and I'm thinking, oh God, I'm a fraud, you know, I shouldn't be here,
but
I shouldn't be
producing. Never the case, no, because, and I'm going to be the stuck record now, we always said, you know, it doesn't, and anything in life, people we meet or whatever, it didn't matter that you drank. We weren't like, oh, we must have a sober podcast producer. Rubbish. To us, it didn't matter at all. You know, it didn't make us feel uncomfortable, but we, you know, I didn't want it to make you feel uncomfortable, but it must have planted that seed.
I need to go back and check the timeline of when the episodes were released, because I know that lockdown made me think, I can't do this moderating thing. I can't remember the exact timeline. I think, long story short, Shaz, I didn't actually want to give up alcohol. That's what it all comes down to. And the reason that I decided to do the whole kind of moderation idea, whenever it was because I didn't actually want to stop. I thought I should give myself a break. I thought I should give my body a break. It's the classic reset thing.
Yeah,
I thought, you know what, take a break. And if I can do 3 months, then that means
I'll be
great.
Fixed.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I kind of knew before I went into that 3 months that it should be longer, but I didn't quite, you know, and we talk about this all the time. I wasn't ready to, I didn't want to give up alcohol. I didn't want to. I had too much fun drinking, I thought.
I was the same. I was absolutely the same. And it's all right to say that. I did not want to give up alcohol. I was going to booze until the day I died. But like you, I thought, I'd just see, oh, great, just have a bloody break. Have a break, get back on it. It's taking that break, like you said, you did 3 months. I know you like to work in months and I was doing 90 days, same thing. But it's that length of time. And we say in the community, don't we, do that 100 days, because that's when things start to change massively.
Yeah, and it was almost annoying. Like I was almost, I was pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what I wanted to happen when I took that 3 month break was that after the pandemic, things ramping up, completely off booze, and it would completely reset, and it would reset my brain, and I'd be able to drink more healthily, which is, you know, how crazy is that as a sentence? You don't drink healthily. Alcohol, as we know, is a poison and it's not good for you. You can't drink healthily. I think I thought that taking a break, and I go, yeah, brilliant. And in a way, when I started it off, I was doing that thing where I was looking forward to the 3 months ending. I knew exactly when the date was, and I was looking forward to that day. I was thinking, what can I do between then and Christmas? I could do this, and I can do the German markets in Birmingham if they're open. You know, all these kind of thoughts. And it was almost annoying. I was almost frustrated that, I mean, again, Jem spotted it first. She started seeing all these changes and differences, not just kind of physically, the obvious kind of the skin's better. And, you know, I did start to lose a little bit of weight. I mean, I got to my heaviest ever after lockdown. It wasn't just the booze, it was eating crap. And again, having that excuse to just do whatever you want because this is a crazy situation. But I was annoyed because it, also that I could feel internally, I could feel it working. I felt not just kind of the clearer headed and, you know, more clarity, more energy, all that stuff we talk about. That calm almost happened straight away. And that's something I'm most grateful for, actually. Zen Ben, you know, that calm feeling that now I've got no alcohol in my system. And it annoyed me because I thought, right, if I go back now, then I know objectively it's not the best thing for me. It's not the best thing for me. It's not the best thing for mine and Jem's relationship. It's not the best thing for work. I know it's not the best thing. So I'd be going back because I enjoyed drinking and I didn't want to give up alcohol because it was fun. And it was frustrating to go, oh, shit. Oh, it's working. Crap.
What they said was true, for crying out loud.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't start it going, I'm really motivated to do this forever. I started it going, I'm going to go back. But actually, that's why we say 100 days, isn't it? Because hopefully people will have that same realisation that I had, that, oh, crap, it's happening. It's actually working.
Yeah.
Shit, that means I've got... And Shaz, it's that, you know, also, I'm, you know, in my 30s, I'm not in my 20s anymore. And it's that thing where you go, could I just do it for a couple more years? Could I? Yeah, I could get away with it for a couple more. Then you go, but if you keep putting it off, do you ever actually get to it? So, yeah, I'm annoyed that I gave up alcohol. There we go. Listen to Over the Influence.
I'm annoyed that it worked, that everything they said came true.
Yeah.
But it just shows you, doesn't it? Because when you are in the throes of drinking, it's sometimes, it's honestly, I think it is actually impossible to picture it yourself, to imagine being where somebody else is. You know, people listen to this podcast and they think, oh God, here they go again, spouting on about sobriety. And, you know, referred to it many, many times. Susan, who was one of our guests on the podcast, she said, I have to believe these people. I have to believe these people. We're not sitting here doing this for the good of our health. Actually, we are, because it's really good for your health. But how do I say it, Ben? The simple fact of the matter is, once you stop and you give yourself that break, like you did, Ben, for 3 months, like I did the same for 90 days, and you just give yourself a bloody chance, it works. It works. Simple as that. And I don't think there's, you know, I'm not going to speak on behalf of our community. We've got a lot of members watching this call. I can imagine that a high percentage of them came into this community and started listening to this podcast going, oh, right, I'll try it then. I will go back. Nobody comes in expecting to change their relationship with alcohol to the point where they are thinking, you know what, I'm not going to drink again, because it is life-changing. It's crazy life-changing, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? There's a few kind of key moments when I think back. A few episodes, a few guests that really kind of changed my thinking on it. One of them was Craig Beck. He came on with his lovely voice and, hello, Over the Influence. My name's Craig and I'm this stop drinking expert.
Craig Beck, who I used to get absolutely ruined with when we worked together in commercial radio, which is
Craig
mad.
Beck, who at one point spoke to us on the podcast, had a safe in his house, a time-locked safe in his house. So we put the wine in. Yeah, that Craig Beck.
Craig,
who
that
now
Craig
is... how many years now? God, he's... Anyway, Craig Beck, great episode. Go back.
Figures now. Been doing it for years. Yeah, yeah, he's brilliant. Brilliant guy.
But the quote that I remember from his episode is, the goal is to fall in love with sobriety. It's not about hating alcohol. It's about falling in love with sobriety. And I remember him saying that and thinking, like... And I wasn't there, and I was like... really? And I think I've almost had a kind of healthy skepticism all the way through this, and there are stages, aren't there? The first stage is that first 3 months, it was a acceptance, crap, this is working,
yeah,
right, well, if this has worked so far, then let's see what happens again. And actually I have now fallen in love with sobriety, using Craig Beck's words, you know. And it's something that we talk about all the time. And you give up one thing and you gain so much more. I remember the Matt Pink episode. That was another one. Matt Pink, Better Life Guy, where he said that if you give up alcohol and then do exactly the same things that you've always done, but when you were a drinker. So let's say, you know, Friday night, you sit there and you watch the same TV program with a bottle of wine. If next Friday, when you're giving up booze, you sit in the same place and you just haven't got the bottle of wine anymore, all you're going to be thinking about is the fact that you haven't got the bottle of wine. You know, and I think after that kind of first 3 months into six, in that kind of second 6 months, I think, that's when I started I felt different, but I started to do more stuff. I started to be more aware of what I was eating. I started to be more aware of exercise. Again, heavily influenced by Jem, the Jedi mind tricker. But it
just
was
a woman. She's just a woman.
Just a woman.
Deal with it.
But that was the kind of second bit. You know, the first bit was the acceptance of, this is actually good for me. The second bit was, okay, right, let's start putting some of this stuff into place and being more active with it. And you know what? By the end of that first year, I was convinced. On day 366, I knew that was it. You know, I've done a year now. And I did have a bit of a conversation with myself. If I can always say now that I gave up alcohol for an entire year. Yeah. I've got that on my CV. I could always say that. But I just thought, no, it's right to carry this thing on. And actually, Shaz, by that point, this time a year ago, we were well into this. You know, we were about to launch the podcast was becoming the Over the Influence community.
Which is crazy.
And that's a bloody good reason to stay alcohol-free, isn't it? Because, you know, we love doing this podcast because me and you, look, we wang on, we have a good old chat.
Wang on a lot.
We meet some amazing people. But actually, through the community now, when I was working at Capital, it was good fun. And we did some interesting things and we went to some interesting places and spoke to interesting people. You know, never had feedback like we do get over the influence. You know, someone said recently, you didn't change my life, the podcast saved my life. You don't get feedback like that at Capital FM. Do you know what I mean? And suddenly that kind of, that came in as well. I was doing it for me, of course, and I was putting, you know, doing it for me, doing it for Jem, doing it for the kids, doing it for family, friends. They come first. But I was also then, I enjoyed the fact that, and I think maybe this is selfish, but I enjoyed that it was helping other people. I enjoyed seeing those messages come in and thinking, oh my God, that person has reconnected with that family member. I remember I got a message on Christmas Day from somebody who said that I wouldn't be here doing this. I'm with my family, having the best day, and I wouldn't be here if I'd not been told to listen to your podcast. And you go, wow, like, and I think the exact phrase, I'd be in a very dark place doing very dark things, and instead I'm here enjoying Christmas with the family. And you go, shit, that's amazing. So I suppose it's been a, you know what, for someone who didn't really want to talk much about himself at the beginning of this podcast, I'm doing a bloody good job, aren't I, Sean?
Just going to take a quick break from this episode of Over the Influence. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying what you're listening to, please do leave us a review with your podcast provider. A review and a rating would be hugely appreciated. Thank you so much. Just wanted to share a little bit of info with you about one aspect of our online community. One of the best bits about it, and it's all pretty fantastic, is the fact that our members can join a Zoom call. In fact, not just one. You can jump on as many as fit in with your diary. I host them myself, as does Ben. They are at lunchtime. They are in the evening. We've got a really early one on a Saturday morning for the early risers in the UK. There was probably a Zoom call that will fit in with you. They are private. It's a chat all about alcohol-free life. It's about motivation. It's about connection. It's about support. And it's about having a really good laugh as well. Our members' feedback is that these Zoom calls are key to their alcohol-free journeys. Please do take a look at what we do, overtheinfluence.co.uk. And if you want any more information at all about the Zoom calls that we host within the community, drop us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Let's get back to the episode. Some people have put some amazing comments in the chat box. So we've got a lot of community members on this call. It's been the busiest live podcast recording that we've ever hosted. And I'm really grateful. I know Ben will be as well for everybody coming on to listen. One of our members, Davina. Yes, I blame Ben for me deciding to do 100 days. This one's made me laugh, Delmy. I wasn't going to give up the booze because that would make me weird. Oh, hang on a minute. That's why you fit in so well here, Delmy. we can't do this episode without briefly mentioning, and I'm sorry it makes me laugh, we've got to talk about it very briefly. You have already touched on it, the moderation episode. Thank you to Sarah, community member, for putting in the chat box here that episode. If you've not already heard it, please, God, go back. It's brilliant. June the 5th, 2020. Now, I know I shredded you and so did Freddie for that episode, but my views on moderation are really strong, and they really only apply to me. You know, I'm not speaking for anybody else. Literally cannot be arsed with moderation. There you go. I think we should actually dedicate another whole episode to it because it is such a huge talking point. When the penny dropped for me about moderation, Ben, that was it. And it was William Porter's book. You know, if you've ever had any sort of issue with alcohol, can't moderate. And what is the bloody point? So when you talked about your 20 in 2020, it's the best name. It's such a great name.
So radio, isn't it?
It's just so good. I knew within me, I thought, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And that wasn't a slight on you. That's not a judgment on
Sharon,
you.
Sharon, you didn't keep it within you. Don't forget you were rather scathing on that episode, publicly scathing. And I think the word idiot was used a few times. Don't be daft.
I didn't use the word idiot. I didn't.
You definitely would have said don't be daft, though.
I think I might have said that. But seriously, and without shredding it, without taking the rip about it, can you see now where I was coming from with that, with the noise that would create in your head?
Well, if this was a I was right and you were wrong and now you're going to say it
no,
moment,
it's not.
Then...
Not going to do then that.
You know what, Shaz? Sarah, thank you for checking that data when that episode came out, moderation. So if that was the June the 5th, 2020... I decided to give up booze permanently on the 6th of July, 2020. So that was a month later, just over a month later. So therefore, my moderation plan lasted a month before I went, no, I've got to do this for long. So I obviously didn't dabble with moderation for long. I mean, I'd been thinking about it for a lot longer than that. But yeah, I think, you know, I drank too much. I smoked too much. I don't go to casinos, and this always makes Jem laugh, but I won't step in a casino because when I was younger and I could start going to casinos, I went to the casino and I spent all my money in bloody casinos because they did free sandwiches. What an idiot.
Sorry, hang on, where? Where did they do a free butty? Let me know. God.
It was the Grosvenor Casino in Birmingham on Broad Street. And what we used to do was go on a night out, then go to the Grosvenor because they to sober up, basically, to eat their free sandwiches, sober up, and their free Diet Cokes. They're not free, Shaz, because you're on the bloody tables, spending all your whatever money you've got left from the night out, because we'd then get the first train back in the morning rather than paying for a tap. Oh, my God, I'm such an idiot. Looking back, I was an idiot.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, Ben, don't you worry.
But then, you know, food, everything that you could do too much that you shouldn't do, I did too much. You know, there was no off switch with anything really, and I just didn't have I just didn't care. I always used to say, "If for a good time, not for a long time," and I believed it.
Yeah,
you know, and I wasn't bothered about it, and I'm embarrassed by that now. But you know, I just, you know, moderation for me, I don't moderate anything, and that's also the good things in my life. You know, I will, if I really want something, and I will go for it, and you know, I won't stop. I'm like a dog with a bone. And I think it's actually, and you know, we've had these conversations, I know, with people watching this call now from the community. If you can channel that, it's not necessarily a bad thing that you can't moderate. It's not necessarily a bad thing to be an all or nothing person. You've just got to channel it in the right direction. And if you can take that energy and put it in the right direction, then it can be a huge force for good. It doesn't just mean that you end up, you know, doing bad things too much. You can use it to do good things. Moderating it's just with anything, it's not just alcohol. It's not for me. It's not for me. And I have to set rules for myself. Shaz, I'm doing it now with the food, where I'm doing intermittent fasting, and I like it because I'm a big snacker and I have gateway snacks, and suddenly means the whole cupboard's gone. But with the intermittent fasting, I like it because there's a rule. And the rule is, after you've eaten dinner, you start your timer, and then you can't eat until the timer says. And there's a rule there. And it's the same with alcohol. I gave myself a rule. I don't drink. You know, that was it. It's a very... You can't, there's no grey area. It's just, I don't drink alcohol. Therefore, straight down the line.
And, you know, at the end of the day, Ben, to quote something back to you that every single one of our community members has picked up on, why wait to feel great?
Why wait to feel great? This is a tagline that I've been trying to get on this podcast for months. I just really like it.
Please do it in your radio voice.
Why wait to feel great? Join Over the Influence.
There's a car park at the rear.
This came from the thing of, you know, when you start a diet, why do you wait till Monday to start a diet? Why wait till Monday? You know, why wait? Because when you give up booze, begrudgingly, you'll start to feel really good.
Whether you like
it or not.
You
don't want to. Yeah. So why wait to feel great? There's always going to be a wedding. There's always going to be a birthday. There's always going to be a work event. There's always going to be something. So why wait to feel great?
It's perfect. I absolutely love it.
Not what you said privately.
No, I didn't. Ben, for somebody that doesn't really like the attention being put upon him and who doesn't really like singing about his own sobriety, I've just realised what time it is. We are nearly out of time. It's been fabulous. It's been really good. I hope you've really enjoyed sharing your alcohol-free journey, your alcohol-free adventure. As I said at the start of this episode, your story is really, really important because it's normal, it's relatable, and you have shown that your life can be changed in so many positive ways. So you are 2 years alcohol-free today, Over the Influence is about to celebrate its 1 year with our community, which is just marvellous. This podcast is now 2 years old. Quick prediction. You've got a crystal ball. You're heading into your third year of sobriety. What does it look like for Zen Ben?
Well, obviously, there's lots of very exciting things happening this year. We've got a baby coming in October. We're getting married. Is it this year? No, just over. We're getting married in August next year. So there's lots of very kind of exciting personal things happening. I can see Over the Influence going from strength to strength. You know, the project that I thought had absolutely no chance of getting any listeners is picking up listeners all over the world every single day.
How dare you?
But Chaz, everyone drinks. Everyone drinks. Yeah. You drink to celebrate, you drink to commiserate. And you know what? I think the main thing is that I hope that through the work that we're doing, you know, every week we release a podcast, every single week, you know, every Monday, it's always there. I think that our message is slightly different. And I think that's why people gravitate towards the podcast and join the community, which is that you don't need to have a rock bottom to change your relationship with alcohol. That's something that I feel really passionate about. I think that there's power in prevention. And if we can encourage more people to listen to that little nagging voice that's going, "This is going the wrong way, mate," a bit earlier, then we could potentially help a lot of people. And, you know, I hope that, I think, I've never been part of another alcohol-free community, so I actually can't comment on it. But what people say about us is that they like that we are positive. And of course, we're talking about really difficult subjects. And some, like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Sean Weiss, the Mighty Duck, that story was so difficult and tragic to listen to. And at the same time, I think it's really important that we are really pushing the positives, the benefits of alcohol-free life, and that anyone can feel the benefits. It doesn't matter where you are on the scale. If you remove alcohol, you will feel benefits, as we said, whether you want to or not. And I think that, I just hope that, you know, it annoys me that there's still that kind of narrative. And it has changed. In 2 years of not drinking, it's definitely changed. When people find out about it, there's definitely more kind of, wow, that's really good. Well done. Good on you. That must be really difficult to do. The kind of positive reinforcement from people is happening more and more. But you do still get that person who's like, "Do you have a drink problem then?" You know, "Oh, mate, I'm not that bad. You know, I didn't realise you had a drink problem." And you go, you know, you say that to the wrong person and it could really affect someone deeply. Luckily, I'm bullshit enough to go, "Bugger off. You know, get out of here and come back to you guys and, you know, feel strength in numbers." But I just hope that over the next year, the society keeps changing. I hope that we are just as a, you know, I say society, I mean UK, USA, we've got members in Canada, we've got members in South Africa, we've got members all over the world now as part of Over the Influence. I just hope that, you know, through what we're doing every week and singing about sobriety and the joys of sobriety and the positives that it can bring, I hope that more people listening feel confident enough in their own lives to do the same thing. You know, you never know who's watching, but, you know, we talked about it on our premium podcast with a member a few weeks ago, a conversation about why he decided to give up drinking that, you know, maybe when he'd first given up drinking, he wouldn't have been confident enough to have, but he sat there and he kind of gave, "Actually, what you've just said, I don't feel that's wrong. And very calmly, I'm going to tell you the reasons why." And I think the more conversations that we can have individually, kind of spreading this message that actually you can choose to give up alcohol if you want to. You can choose to decide to remove something to give yourself a better life in whatever area it is that you want to achieve in. Personal life, work life, whatever. And I just hope that more and more people feel confident to be confident in their own decision to give up alcohol and, you know, to not shout it from the rooftops if you don't want to. I'm not saying that. But just, I think we change this thing person by person. It's conversation by conversation. And that's what I hope comes in my third year.
Nothing further to add, my lord.
That's it. Can I go now?
Ben, you are free to leave the Zoom call now. I really, really enjoyed that. Sorry for dropping that on you. Sorry for sneaking Gemma onto the Zoom. Sorry for telling you barefaced lies. I think you're wonderful. I am loving doing this with you. For me personally, to see you go from somebody that thought this podcast might be a bit shit to somebody who's now 2 years
not shit, just not not shitly listened to. Yeah,
yeah. I don't care. However you dress it up, where we are now, 2 years down the line, you know, for you to be 2 years alcohol free, and I'm just dead excited about what the future holds for Over the Influence. You should be dead proud of yourself. I think I'll just end by saying, big up yourself, Ben.
And don't forget, you're 4 years very soon, so let's switch that hot seat around, shall we?
Shit.
Hello, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and you're at the end of another episode of the world's favourite alcohol-free podcast. If you enjoyed it and your podcast app lets you leave a rating or a review, please can you do that for us? A 5-star rating would be fabulous, a written review even better. Basically, by leaving a review or giving us a rating, you're helping other people to find us, because it's something to do with algorithms and podcast apps, and I'm not quite sure how it works, but essentially, you actively engaging with us and leaving your written review or leaving us your 5 stars lets other people know that this podcast is great and that they should listen to it. As you know, we're all about shouting about the joys of sobriety from the rooftops here at Over the Influence, and we want to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol to see how it makes them feel. So again, please leave us a rating and a review. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.